billion-dollar game. Revenue paid to view should be pretty healthy. The usual deductions, then it all goes to the wealthy. Still, the world was coming. Yeah, the world was coming. I'm not complaining, just the opposite, my friend. I know it's raining, but we're coming to the end of the rainbow. The lion and the spying through. Oh, you don't know me? Okay, I don't know you too. The world's coming, world was coming on. The world was coming and the world was coming. The world was coming, Joe.
Andy Warhol looks at screen.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Jared Yazzie. He's a fashion designer, and he's in town to talk about Native Fashion Now. It's the new show at the Portland Art Museum. It runs through September the 4th. It's all about Native American fashion. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Yeah, no problem.
So Jared, you are represented in a book as making T-shirts with slogans on, and they're pretty defiant and they're very bold statements. The whole show itself ranges from haute couture to accessories. So you're in there with your T-shirt. So one that's particularly clear that everyone will see, it's yellow writing, says Native Americans. Then it switches to white writing. It says, discovered Columbus. What's your take on that? Why did you make that?
I was going to school at the University of Arizona. I was actually going for engineering and found a passion for art and design while in school. Going to classes like calculus and while I was sketching on binders or whatever. This was a statement that I sketched a lot. Threw it on a tee just because I wanted it and I thought it was funny, and I feel like a lot of people took a lot of truth with it. It's become one of my most popular designs. You can make this statement from across the room, you can make it from across the campus. I'm a pretty shy person that won't go out and say my statements right away, but a shirt can be something to make a statement for you, which is what I want to draw in with my designs, something real bold and activates people, which is why, you know, I'm in that activator section. It's something you can wear every day and kind of speak this truth that you have lingering that needs to be said. So Native Americans Discovered Columbus is something that does that. Kind of making an impact now with the Indigenous Peoples Day protests that happened, changing Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. A lot of people wear it at the protests, at the rallies, and I get a lot of orders from campuses, from universities. I sent some to Rochester Institute of Technology and San Diego State. Students like wearing them together, going out there to try to change the holiday.
How old were you when you made this T-shirt?
It was back in 2009. I was barely in school, so I was probably about 19.
Did it turn you into a designer, or were you an engineer anyway?
I didn't finish as an engineer. I switched my major. I started taking a lot of graphic design classes. Started screen printing on my own in my house, and then found a job screen printing tees for a company. And just let my mind go crazy with that. Started printing, started doing designs. Started releasing in lines in fall and then in spring. I have easily 24 designs out. It's so funny seeing this because the exhibit was started 3.5 years ago. I was in college. I wasn't too organized at the time, so I thought it was kind of a joke when I was hit up by a museum to ask if they wanted some of my items. So they're kind of the real beginning ones. I didn't participate too well. Like, they really had to hit me up. But I have so much more work now. I run this. I'm an artist full-time now. It's a blessing to be out there and to be able to come here instead of having to worry about getting back to work.
What do you run?
The clothing line is called OXDX Clothing. I do designs. Just today, A Tribe Called Red, which is a all Native American DJ group in Canada, just released a new track and I designed their new single. A lot of different design works are going on. I do a lot of conference shirts for people going to conferences. Design work for anybody. I'm usually designing, doing screen printing jobs, and doing my own stuff.
So not everything you're doing in your day-to-day work is political. The political stuff or the stuff that expresses you is a side thing. Is that right?
My work is what I do full-time. I reflect Native life. I never thought of being a political artist. I never came out to be someone trying to make a statement. The one you're showing right now is a cross between Misfits logo, which is an old punk band, and the Cleveland Indians logo. And my thought at the moment was we needed to end it. We needed to bring a close to it. We needed to kill off the stereotyping of Native people in sports and mascots.
Mm-hmm. Who in your world do you admire that does a similar thing? Kind of street art with a bit of an edge.
I like a lot of streetwear designers like Jeff Staple, Bobby Hundreds, Johnny Cupcakes. Those are all like kind of streetwear t-shirt people. And I follow their brand, and I like to carry myself as a brand. I don't think the Native community has a streetwear brand that they can rely on or be excited about. So I kind of want to be the person to start doing that.
So people look for OXDX?
Yep.
What does that mean?
OXDX was a name I came up with in college. Originally, it was Overdose Designs. Overdose came from a Lupe Fiasco song. His album, he has a spoken word poem, Baba Says Cool for Thought. And in the poem, she's talking about how people thought things were cool back in the day, like riding around in a white hood, and which she's talking about KKK. So she said that people thought that was cool. People thought this was cool. And so she says, you know, watch yourself before you overdose on the cool. Mm-hmm. And that resonated with me, especially being from a small town and from like...
Oh, what town is that?
Holbrook, AZ. It's a border Navajo res town. So we're about 20 to 15 minutes from the res. And I go home a lot. My grandparents all live out in the res. My family lives on the res. So we used to go out and help out all the time. My grandparents only speak Navajo. So they're really engulfed in the culture. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like going home. And going to Tucson, going to U of A from a small town was a big transition. And I think it's a big transition with a lot of Native college kids. So they're all battling the two worlds, coming from a traditional home to being forced into like this cityscape where you have to adapt to a different life. You know, it's semi-unfair to me. And it didn't make sense to me at the time. I thought a lot of people were ODing on different things, greed, or just too busy with school. To me, school was kind of crazy and not what I wanted to do. I wanted to learn certain things, but I wasn't allowed to because I wasn't in certain colleges or stuff. So a lot of things didn't make sense to me at the time. So Overdose was a good name that I picked from it. And then OXDX just stems from me doing writings and kind of playing around with graffiti art. And I would place, you know, the dots with the X's. And people read it as OXDX, and I thought I had a nice ring to it.
What are your other media then? If you make another T-shirt with a slogan, what's your medium?
I mean, I've went on. So T-shirts were the first thing, and I love T-shirts. They're the base of OXDX. But fashion has really been a calling, and being recognized for a lot of different things. So it's like my responsibility to be a creator and to make things. I think so. I've been making a lot of graphic work, a lot of graphic patterns, going into full color. So I've made dresses, I made leggings, transferred to canvas at some points. And there's dorm students. I use my art to paint on the dorm of their walls in the dorm room. And I think it makes them feel connected to home and stuff. So stuff like that is kind of really cool. And it's versatile, getting on a lot of different places.
How do you go about making a dress?
To me, I don't cut and sew, so they get sent out. You know, I get the fabric printed, so I arrange everything, make the fabric the way I wanted to make it, and then kind of guide how I want the dress to be made. Mm-hmm.
So you'll design a fabric, a print, and then draw a dress, and then have someone make it.
Yep.
What kind of? I mean, these dresses for wearing to a cocktail party or a basketball game?
They're a little bold.
Nightclub?
So I'm not sure. I mean, people can dress up and wear however they want to, which is why I like my stuff, because I've printed on so many different things. I print on jackets, I print on dresses, and people switch them up. They cut them up. They do anything. So I've seen them worn in like high class kind of events, and I've seen them worn out on the street. So it's real. And that's what I like about it. It's a real personal thing.
Mm-hmm. There's an artist in here with the same name as you, Jolene Ninibar Yazi. Any relation?
Nah. There's a lot of Yazzies on the Alvarez, yeah.
Is that like the Smith of the Rez?
Yeah, yeah. I always tell people I graduated with 9 Yazzies and I wasn't related to any of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, she's doing T-shirts with statements. Is that like the entry level, do you think? If someone's a young artist with something to say, is that the T-shirt now the entry?
It's a T is really easy thing to get interested in, to start making. A lot of people make them on the res where I'm from. Like, you go to a flea market there or to a powwow or something, and there's probably 9 different stands of T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So the trick is to be the one to stand out and to make the designs constant and to be different.
Mm-hmm. And are they literally doing what you did and doing their own screen printing, or they just outsource it?
They're doing both.
Mm-hmm. Which do you think's better?
To me, I really liked learning screen printing, and I was in the business for 3 years, and learning a lot about how to print on different fabric and the techniques of printing helped me picking these new designs and to make a product that people like. But I'm a big believer in staying what you're good at and hiring people that are good at stuff to handle what they do. Like, I don't want to act like I'm a fashion designer, like I make gowns. If I was interested in making a gown, I'd collab with one of these other native artists and we would make one together. You know, that's a good collaborative event. That's how we should carry things, instead of like being kind of a self-centered type of person. If you want to express yourself, you should, like, especially native people, we can't be against each other in this time because there's so many odds against us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, this show is wide ranging. It covers all of North America, and you meet up with the other artists when. So this show began in Salem, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
The Peabody Essex Museum.
Yep.
And now it's here in Portland. So you've met some of the artists again who are in it.
Yeah, I always said, I did an interview at PEM. They're saying that it's like a big family reunion. And it was funny because we all got to hang out and we started joking around about who was a grandma, who was a sister, who was whatever. But I know all these artists and we're all friends, and I'm friends with them on Facebook, and it's usually us that are up all late and messaging each other at 3 a.m, asking them what they're doing. And mm-hmm. Of course, we're working, we're hustling. And it's fun getting together because we're so immersed in what we're doing that we don't get to see each other too much. You know, we see each other at the shows, at the trade markets, and we're always like on our grind or doing fashion shows or stuff like that. So it's nice to all come together and hang out.
Mm-hmm. So this show has a lot of fancy gowns, I'd call them, haute couture. Do you think they're taken seriously in the fashion industry, or are they just pushed into a corner as it's the native stuff?
I think this is a big start into being taken seriously, and I think before we were not taken seriously. There's different levels in the exhibit that are the breakthrough people that started the path breakers, and those are the people that started the path for native design, and I'm sure it was very hard for them. Nowadays we're getting people like Bethany Yellowtail, who's always in, like, getting the good reviews in the news. She's getting shares and her stuff is super clean, and she's getting a lot of interviews out there, and the internet is big right now. I mean, I have a big social media presence.
What are your channels?
I have a Facebook, OXDX. I have an Instagram, OXDX Clothing, Twitter, OXDX Clothing, and a website. And my website has a blog and pictures and news of stuff that I'm doing.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Jared Yazzie. He's a fashion designer, and he has work in the show Native Fashion Now, which is at the Portland Art Museum through September the 4th. Jared, you talked about some of the breakthrough people. Patricia Michaels was on Project Runway, and Dorothy Grant is from the Pacific Northwest. Then there's Louis Gong, who's from Seattle. What does Louis do?
Louis owns 8th Generation, and his big step now is that he's producing his own wool blankets, which is a big thing because the other competitors to that is Pendleton, and Pendleton has a big reputation of taking Native American designs and selling them as their own. which they're a non-native company. So it's really cool to see Louis stepping up and creating these, because Pendleton blankets are big within Native culture. Pendletons are something to be handed out like at graduations. Like I got one
when
I graduated, yeah.
So they're respected. It's not like everyone boycotts them.
No, which is a tough little thing to get through. You know, people want them and people make stuff from them. But the whole thing behind it, it's not helping Native people. It's not directly helping Native people. Mm-hmm. But Louis can be the person to tie that all together.
So the idea is if you can design and manufacture your own blanket, that more of the money stays in the Native economy?
Yeah, exactly. And so, the Native people need it. The Native community is crazy, like, on the poor end of stuff. I mean, it's a hard life on the res. There's a lot of places don't have electricity. There's not roads to get to it. There's not water. You got to haul your own water. Food, there's, at least on the Navajo res, there's probably one grocery store within 100 miles, So it's not like you can live a healthy way that way either. You can't be buying your fresh groceries. You got to grow them. But, originally Native people were placed on the reservations because they were the cheapest land. Like they weren't the best land. So you have to kind of grow what you can from it.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Tuba City?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah,
that was an eye-opener.
My grandma's side is from Tuba City. And my latest shoot I took in Tuba City, my grandma lives right off the road if you're going from Flagstaff to Tuba City.
Your latest what?
My latest photo shoot. I actually have a photo of it.
Oh, okay. So like your designs on models, but you took it to Tuba City?
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing too. So these kind of designs are something that... it's not represented through the city. It's not represented in these fancy places.
It's a landscape that looks a desert landscape with sort of striped mountains with a beautiful girl with a T-shirt on. What is that image on the shirt?
It's called Protect, and it's an image of a woman protester wearing a bandana over her mouth protesting.
So it looks a bit more traditional. There's a lot more going on than a slogan T-shirt.
Yeah.
When you're inspired by traditional designs, are they by tribe or is there some other way that you access?
I innately design more Navajo. I'm Navajo and it's easy for me to design within Navajo patterns, Navajo themes. So a lot of that comes right away and I try to reflect myself. I know more about it and I can study Navajo culture more. I know what's more appropriate to put out within myself. Mm-hmm. So if I was going to do something that wasn't within my culture, I would probably collab with someone or ask someone about it because they would have more knowledge about it, Mm-hmm. That's where the appropriating comes from. Like people need to know that a lot of these designs have meaning and have stories behind them that they need to know before they wear it out.
So it's just as much of a faux pas for you to appropriate from another tribe as it would be from some, retailer, Target or something.
Yeah, I get a lot of flack from my own people, from Navajos. If I design something in Navajo, like a Navajo design and take it home and it's not done the right way, they'll tell me it's not done the right way. And that's happened before. My logo is a Navajo wedding basket. Okay. And originally I had it facing up because there's always an opening in a Navajo wedding basket because that's kind of the symbology of it. Mm-hmm. You have an opening that opens to the east and Navajos have a lot of identity and sacredness to the direction of east. Mm-hmm. So I originally had it facing up and an elder told me that I should turn it sideways to show that, the direction-wise, north, south, east, west, it should be facing.
It looks like a C, basically. Yep. And you had it like a U?
I had it like that,
yeah.
Because, this is more, design-wise, it looks better, But traditional-wise, this is how it should be.
Yeah.
And now I can tell people that. Now I am able to tell people about Native culture in a little way.
Mm-hmm. We're all used to seeing Native designs put on things, and really... you see it at the mall and you think, oh, that's vaguely familiar. That's Alaskan or that's from, Puget Sound or something. So you have Louis Gong, who's from, he's Squamish and he's from the Seattle area, or he lives in the Seattle area. And he's got these shoes. They're Converse, and they have the sort of black, white, and red design. He just calls them Spirit Wolf Chucks 2010. Now, what does it mean when somebody takes their own culture, their own design, and puts it on a you know, basically a Nike?
I think people nowadays, or I think my generation, has to really. We can't go around wearing our traditional wear. Even now, there's so much like controversy of wearing our traditional wear at graduations. There's people that are saying they can't walk with wearing an eagle feather on their cap, or even a beaded cap, or you know, wearing moccasins.
Who's saying they can't do that?
This is a lot within. I mean, this is in Native world. It's a lot of shares and a lot of stuff. But there's a lot of there's high schools in Colorado, in New Mexico. From what I've heard, but there was a situation where a student couldn't wear his beaded cap, and there was a student that couldn't wear their traditional moccasins as they walked for graduation, and which is really a weird kind of a thing. I mean, we were forced into school, we were forced into boarding school. My dad went to boarding school, sort of had his language kind of beat out of him a little bit, and my parents didn't teach me that much Navajo, and I know they wanted us to be successful. I know they wanted us to go far and to not live on the res, I think. They never told us that, but it's just the way you grow up, the success seems off the res. And that's a really hard reality because a lot of people I went to school with wanted to go back and help, but there's not a lot of jobs, there's not a lot of housing, so you really have to figure out how you want to help your own people. And sort of me is expressing myself into showing people that Native people are still out there and still exist. And the way to do that is to change up your style. You know, we can't, I don't have access to straight up, like, you know, hide to make my own moccasins or anything. And I wouldn't be able to wear that out. But like Louis's doing here, he's throwing the designs on regular sneakers. And mm-hmm. people can have pride in having a piece of their culture that they can wear every day.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if a white kid's wearing these, are they supposed to know it's authentic? Does it, or once you've manufactured a shoe and it's gone into the retail chain, you've lost track of the story.
Yeah, and that's a big problem that we're dealing with now, is that we want to get these designs out, but it's a fact of having them Native made. Like, how much can we produce ourselves? Like, I know Louis used to paint these himself, but now he's selling them more that he has to manufacture them.
Mm-hmm.
So where does the Native part get lost? You know, how many hands does it have to go through to where it's not Native anymore?
Yeah.
But really, that's his product. He's a Native American person. You know, it's all a Native product. And just us going through those obstacles is really hard. We have beaded work. Kristen Dorsey is shown there. She does a lot of silversmithing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy work. You know, you can't mimic that. I mean, well, you can with like metal or anything. She does it by hand, and if she wants to be successful and if she wants to create her business, she's got to make those every
this
day and
big,
keep selling them.
Big jewelry, big statement pieces, right?
Yep.
Giant necklaces and huge rings the size of a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just to go back to that, is it Louis' company's called Eighth Generation?
Eighth Generation, yeah.
And that's a play on Seventh Generation, so he's saying we're taking it one more, we're being different.
I'm not exactly sure where he got Eighth Generation from, but I'd have to look into it.
Oh, okay. But you're saying that authenticity is still important amongst your peers. You look at every object in this museum exhibit, and do you look for authenticity first?
I know these artists, so the question of authenticity is a little rude, I think. You know, like, I get questions of that all the time, because just because I didn't grow up on the res, I'm full-blooded Navajo, but being grown up off the res and kind of having the success I have would be credited to that, you know what I mean? So having the level of authenticity, like, it's just like blood quantum. It's like this person's half, you know, half Native. And what does that even mean? You know, mm-hmm. if you're a person that knows your culture, that shouldn't mean anything. But it's kind of a this thing brought upon us by the government, really, to sort of eliminate us. You know, it takes this much blood to be a Native person, which that's not true in my eyes. Like, mm-hmm. you're a Native person if you've learned and if you've lived the Native way, and if you create that way, that's authentic to me. Mm-hmm. So knowing these people, getting to know their work, is a great way to find that. And we all support each other, and we don't like support fake artists, you know. So I've always shouted out all these artists: Jamie Kuma and Bethany Yellowtail, Louis Gong, Kristen Dorsey. They're amazing people and doing amazing work. Mm-hmm. And we all like rely on each other for that help.
And what were you aware of them before the show at the Peabody, before this show originated?
Where was I?
Were you aware of them?
Oh, was I aware of them? Yeah. We all, like I said, we hit up all like kind of the same things. Santa Fe Indian Market's a big deal. Herd Market, a lot of artists come through, and I've always seen everybody's work through there. Just online too, like Facebook, Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm a big follower in blogs and stuff like that, so I've always seen their work pop up all the time.
So if somebody wanted to... The great thing about now is you can see on Instagram what an artist is thinking day by day. Can you give us a few names or even Facebook sites to look at where people can learn about the kind of thing you're looking at every day?
Yeah, Beyond Buckskin. She's just Jessica Metcalf. She did her dissertation on Native fashion. She's pretty much the person to go to really find out about Native fashion, because it's an unwritten thing. You can't go in the history books and find anything about Native fashion. But Jessica Metcalf has really contributed to creating that kind of history and creating these blogs that you can go to find what's appropriate and what's not, and what artists are doing what, and who's authentic, who's creating the authentic work. Mm-hmm. And so that's Jessica Metcalf at Beyond Buckskin.
Oh, I should add that she's going to be in town for a talk July 10th at 2 o'clock. You can go hear her at the museum.
Yeah, and she's a good friend. She started the Beyond Buckskin Boutique, and that's kind of really opened a lot of doors for me. I was so small time, selling within my res, selling within my communities. Opened up to online selling, and I was able to ship out across the U.S., across, the sea. And when she got introduced to it, she opened up her boutique, put my stuff on there, and it's just been going everywhere since then. She's a real, she pushes Native art really hard, and it's awesome. But yeah, I love Jessica and also that she's doing. Also, Adrian Keene does Native Appropriations, which isn't a style blog specifically. It's just a blog about Native appropriation. And
appropriation in a good way?
I don't think there's ever a good way to have it, but she's the one that wrote about, the Native beaded cap. She's the one that writes about all these issues, and she really has influence. She has, like, even within, like, the Twitter world, she has a lot of Twitter followers, and if she goes after you and tags you in something to tell you that this is inappropriate, people will listen, and that's awesome to have that Native voice within today's world.
There are also a couple more talks. They're called Critical Conversations, and they're about appropriation. The first one is August 25th at 6:30 in the evening. Eden Dawn, Sam McCracken, that's from Nike N7. And then part two is September the 1st at 6:30. It's Louis Gong and Sarah Agaton Howes, a designer with Eighth Generation. It sounds like social media has made it a lot easier to get something out there that normally gets diverted into gift shops, and it's trivialized or it's compartmentalized. Are there any other names you want to shout out?
Yeah, Kelly Holmes, that does Native Max Magazine. Native Max Magazine's the first of its kind to create content about Native fashion, and she's doing really great work. She's done a few fashion shows within her community in Denver that she's invited me out to. I was a part of the first year fashion show that she did in Flagstaff, Arizona, and then just this past year, we did a fashion show in Denver.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Jared Yazzie. He's a fashion designer, and he's been talking about Native Fashion Now, which is a big show at the Portland Art Museum, which runs June 4th through September the 4th. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO, Jared.
Thanks a lot.
Andy Warhol looks at screen. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Lost Boys of Portlandia, a film premiere gala and fundraiser for Outside the Frame, Tuesday, June 7th at 7 p.m. at Revolution Hall in Portland. Outside the Frame is a new organization that empowers homeless and marginalized youth by producing films with youth that convey their life experience. They will premiere The Lost Boys of Portlandia, a riff on Peter Pan, where real lost boys and girls debate if and how to return to mainstream society. They will also screen original film shorts by homeless youth about issues such as drug abuse, gender identity, and the healthcare system. Again, that's The Lost Boys of Portlandia, Tuesday, June 7th at 7 p.m. at Revolution Hall, 1300 Southeast Stark Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, Pinkwashing Exposed, will play Thursday, June 9th at 7.